Shalom Aleichem of B'yah 56:13. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Temura Daf Gimel. Temura 3a. Pagination is 5. Counting up from the wide lines on the bottom of the page, about 6 lines, we have a statement from Rav Yehuda Marav, a famous type of concept, but we're going to have to refine it and revise it. But the statement is, Kol lo sasa b'torah, any lo sasa in the Torah, that means there's a prohibition, don't do something. Osa b'maisa chayov, if this prohibition involves an action, then you're going to be chayev malkus if you're in violation. Lo osa b'maisa, but if the prohibition does not involve an action, potter, he's going to be absolved of Malkus. He did the violation. There are all kinds of violations in the Torah. A person can be over an Isser Aseh as well. The Torah told him to do something and he didn't do it. That doesn't incur Malkus. Malkus is that there's a Los Aseh, he did the violation, and it involved an action. The Gemara asks, totally related to our Masechta, Ukalalahu, really? Is there such a general rule? The lav she'en bo maisa potter, that if there's no action, you're going to be absolved. Vahare meimer, the case of temura, the lav she'en bo maisa hu, there's no action over here, v'laki, and he does get malchus. Now, we have to appreciate the words no action. No action in the context of the Gemara excludes speech. Speech is not considered an action. Action is that you did something. Talking, Lashon Hara, for example, is a lav she'en bo maisa. You don't get malchus for it. That's speech. For whatever reason, it's not considered grounded in this world. On a hashkafic level, it's very profound. Speech is already a higher dimension. It's not a very physical act. For eating non-kosher, that's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. That's an action. Speech, and certainly thought, as powerful as they are, they're not in the world of action totally grounded. It's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. You don't get malchus for it. So, you're telling me that you don't, but temura, which is an action, a non-action, it's a speech. It's something that's done by speaking. And there is malchus. That was the first Mishnah. The Tanan, lo shehu rashai lahamir. Our entire discussion here, the first Mishnah said, was not that you're allowed to do a temura. We're only discussing that it takes effect and you would get malchus. Oh, so you do get malchus for mumar. It's a lav shein b'maisa. So the Gemara towards the bottom of the Amud presents this in a slightly different way, acknowledging that there are exceptions. And indeed, each of those exceptions has a source. And the statement, 5 lines from the bottom, is Kol lo sasa shebetorah. Anytime there's a lo sasa shebetorah, osa b'maisa loke, if there's an action involved, you get malchus. Lo osa b'maisa potter, if you didn't do an action, is potter. Chutz minishba, except for a person making an oath. Umumar. And the case of doing temura, umekal chaveru b'shem, and cursing his friend using the shem Hashem, af al pi shelo osa maisa, even though there's no action, because it's speech, chayev, he's still going to be chayev malchus. Now, we're going to want to develop each of these, but take a glance at Tosfos, who wonders, Vahare Meimer, the second to last, V'im Tomar, why don't you ask, Amailo Porech Hochinami Mimotzi Shemra Ve'edim Zomimin? their cases where a person did the violation through speech. Motzi Shemra is a person who badmouthed his wife. They get married, and he claims that she was immoral. It's a specific scenario when he claims she acted immorally, but that's the expression, Motzi Shemra. He's sending out a bad name. And it turns out that he was a liar. Everything was fine. He was just bad-mouthing her. And he gets Malkus. But that was only speech. That wasn't an action. And Edim Zomimin as well. The famous case where not only did they lie in testimony, but they lied to the point of something that couldn't have even been real. They weren't even there. Imanu Hayisem. They're disproven by the fact that they weren't even there. The lav she'en bo ma'aseh v'laki. It's a lav that has no action, because again, it's speech. V'laki, and they do get malchus. So Tosfos answers, those are nice observations. V'yesh lomar, d'loboy l'mifrach mehani d'chsiv b'hu malchus b'torah. Those are cases where the Torah specifically tells us that they should get malchus. That's not following the general rule. That could easily be understood as an exception to the rule. So that doesn't bear weight in our Gemara. Although, again, it's a good observation that there are cases of speech violations that do get malchus. Continuing in the Gemara, one line up, Nishba Minolon. How do we know that the person who makes the oath is going to get malchus, even though it's a lav she'en b'maisa, it's only speech? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amar Kra, it's based on a pasuk, ki lo yinake Hashem, eis asher yisa eshemo lashov. Hashem will not atone in this world for the person who bears his name without justification, without proper behavior. Bezdin shel maila eimenakim oso. The heavenly court does not cleanse him in this world. Avo bezdin shel mata malkin oso umenakin oso. But the inference is, Kilo yinaka Hashem, Hashem won't cleanse. Hashem will not forgive. Hashem will not atone. But Beis Din has the right and the obligation to step in and bring atonement. The concept of Malkus, not just as a punishment, but as an atonement, which is really what the punishments in Kabbalistic attitude is. Punishments really are ways to cleanse the person to be ready for greater good. There may indeed be cases where a person is just destroyed and punished, etc. But that's not our typical attitude. Our typical attitude is that the average Jew needs atonement for maybe as much as 12 months. But that eventually the person is embraced by Hashem and gets infused with Hashem's illumination. We have the concept of Kaddish for 11 months, so as not to say that my parent needs the full 12 of atonement. But the atonement is to get the person to a good place. We have a historical perspective on this as well. After the generation of the Maranos, so many people eventually made it out. Inquisition still was having its effect, but many Jews were making it out. And after making believe they were Christians and undoubtedly doing certain things that were violations, they made it out. And many of them made it to Eretz Yisrael. And there was actually a movement in Eretz Yisrael to try to achieve atonement for what had happened, for what they did, to the point that they wanted to rejuvenate the concept of smicha, and be able to give Malkus lashes. And we have an entire history, the debate of whether smicha can be rejuvenated. One of the people who received the smicha was Rabbi Yosef Cairo. Fascinating idea that he ends up writing the law book of the Jewish people, the Shulchan Aruch, the same person as the person who was recognized as so great to be able to receive the smicha. But one great impetus for this was that the Anusim, the Maranos, wanted atonement, and they wanted that there should be a rejuvenation of the Bezdin who could administer Malkus so that they could achieve atonement and they can move on. The expression over here is Ki lo yinaka Hashem. Hashem does not cleanse, and therefore we infer that Bezdin steps in and can cleanse, just to complete the logic, even though Nishba, the person making the oath, was a lav she'im bo maisa, there's still Malkus, it's considered an exception. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.